Hi, my name is Philia, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Yemi.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to
Treading Faith.
Treading Faith is a weekly Bible study podcast dedicated to diving into the Bible with open, honest, fun, and sometimes difficult conversations that surround everyday life and our faith walk with Christ. Walking in faith allows us to trust in God, who picks up the slack when we can't hope for things that are unseen. So, Yemi, what are we diving into today?
Well, Philia, we are in our sixth season, and this season we are pulling down strongholds and clearing the path to our freedom in Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 says that we must use our God mighty tools to fight the fight of warfare, spiritual warfare, to pull down strongholds and break generational curses. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not flesh, but they're mighty through God. I mean, we just need to actively work. And today we're actively talking and going to work on generational curses.
That's right.
We finally made it to generational curses because I feel like we've been alluding to it every single episode. It's probably part of the overarching theme of this series that we're covering because we are talking about the curses in our life. And a lot of us are under generational curses. So just to say, often stemming from the actions or experience of an ancestor, sometimes viewed as a consequence of sin or trauma that continues to affect descendants. So it's kind of like a negative cycle that affects multiple members of a generational line. It can be from sin, it can be from trauma, it can be from a curse. What we're focused on right now are the curses that are long lasting. In fact, what we're going to say is that any misfortune that you may be experiencing in your life that has passed down generationally that you notice a pattern is a curse. It's a spiritual curse. I'm going to make that pronouncement today because if it is a spiritual curse, guess what? We can break it through Jesus Christ, right?
Amen. Yeah.
So we're going to focus on breaking these curses. And, you know, I think about generational curses and I think about what generational curses may be in my family, but there's a bunch that we can think about, right? Like, and I want to say that they're not this baggage. I'm going to read a list. It's not limited to this list, but this baggage can be in your family. Involvement in witchcraft or the occult, abuse of drugs or alcohol, uncontrolled anger or violence, rebellious, stubborn attitude, physical, verbal, or emotional abuse, sexual sin or perversion, laziness, gluttony, confusion, fear, or tendency to worry, sickness or disease, heart problems, diabetes, the sugar, cancer, arthritis, etc. The effect of profanity or negative words spoken directly to a person or about a person. So some of these things are generational, right? And we know that they're generational because it affected your parents and your grandparents and your cousins and your aunties, your uncles. You know that there's a history of certain things. And certain things we can say, like we said before, not everything is a curse. It could just be the flesh. It could just be us humans doing bad things to one another. But the fact is, you learn from your family members. These are who children learn from first. So a negative action that a parent or grandparent is doing in a household, a child is likely to carry that on. And we're going to say that that is spiritual in nature because it can be broken through Jesus Christ. Mm. And I love that for us because that means there's nothing that can hold us back in this life. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. You know, when I was reading this chapter, it really made the story of Noah become so prominent for me because, you know, I only really think of Noah as the Noah's Ark, plus that's my son's name. But, you know, I don't really think about the history of Noah and where this whole idea of generational curses really stems from is when Noah, he began, you know, as a farmer and he drank from the vineyard, you know, and was drunk by the wine. So he ended up passing out and was naked. And I think his son had come in and seen him naked. And what happened was Shem and Japheth had taken a garment to lay it on Noah to cover him from being ashamed. So when he woke up, he realized that he was covered and end up cursing Ham and his generations. But what's interesting about that is that that curse is the one that transcends into all the generations. And what he realizes that God had already blessed him and blessed his generations. And now he kind of reversed the curse by cursing back that same generation. And of course, you know, if he was at the time in his right mind or maybe thought about it, he would have realized not to have done that. He could have still reprimanded him or said he's ashamed of his actions. But to actually curse the generation that was already blessed by God, he set forth something in motion. And we did that chapter about spoken word. And we have to realize that God says, you know, there's life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when you do say something that is negative, you set a negative spirit, you set negative path into motion. And this is what Noah did with the generational curses. So I love the fact that with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have an opportunity and ability to stop these curses from progressing or transgressing into our own families by becoming the generational curse breakers, by denouncing it, by calling on to the Lord Christ as our Lord and Savior, to rebuke all spirits, to have, you know, put on our full armor of God for spiritual warfare, to pray for our family, to pray for the covering of our own family members. These are the ways that we can break these generational curses.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing up the story about Noah, because it's an early story in the Bible, and it's an experience where we're witnessing, and this is not like God doing it, right? Where we're witnessing a parent speaking a curse onto their own family, right? Noah was so mad at his son Ham for what he did, right? Making fun of him and his vegan steak. Because you just honor thy mother and thy father. That is a commandment. But so Noah was so mad that Ham went to show his brothers his drunken state and make fun of him that he didn't take his actions out on Ham. He took out his actions on Canaan, his grandson. He actually cursed. He skipped his own son and cursed. And how many people have heard? As a West African, you know, you've heard that it will be your children.
Right.
It, like, you've always heard.
To me, your children will do to
yes.
You.
Your children will not prosper. Right. People have spoken this. We may have even been guilty of this. When you want to unleash something so severe on someone, you don't just curse them, you curse their children. I know in very Black American urban, we would say your mother, right? Like we would say, or sometimes we say your children's children, right? Like, or your whole generation, right? We were always like, we have been taught to speak these curses. Right. And this is an original curse that we can see from the Bible. He spoke it against Canaan. He tried to shackle his one child, one child's whole lineage. He tried to shackle them to a curse because, like Philia mentioned, Noah's family was blessed. Right. He was stopping a blessing in his own family. Mm. And this was retribution to his son. He was so angry with his son that he had to take it out on someone innocent, his son's son. Can you imagine that we may be the recipients of curses because of something our ancestor did? It had nothing to do with us. Something our ancestors did or said, maybe opened the door, you know, dabbled in some witchcraft and occult, open, you know, got some spirits working into the family. Just anything that an ancestor of ours might have done that is causing us to have problems today. Like in my culture, if there's an issue in your family, if there's an issue with any of your children, they're not prospering in a certain way, they will say that maybe someone put a curse on your parent or your grandparent. They will say you need to go to the bush man, the juju man, or wherever you go, right? To go see this man, to find out what's blockage is on your family. Just like we spoke about before, like taking that spiritual bath that the witch, non-witch, you know,
the purple haze
that the undeclared witch provided. These are things that happen, right? Because people really wholeheartedly believe in it. This is deep cultural roots. And it's not, you know, you might say, oh, these are bush people, but it's in the Bible too.
It's actually
there. And you know, we know that humans can do it because God can do it. We talked about the fact that we are spiritual in nature, but our spiritual nature, we don't really know what we're doing. we are acting as if we're in flesh, but we're invoking the spiritual realm. But we do it in the flesh because we're so angry in the flesh. We want to hurt you. We want to say bad things to you, but we're invoking something that we have so little knowledge of, right? Exodus 20:3-5, God says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Mm-hmm. If God can do it, we have the ability to do it because God is spirit, not flesh. And we are of God. We are his creation. He breathed spirit into us. So we have the ability to do the same, to do this thing. No, of course, not the extent that God can do it, of course. But imagine, and imagine if there was a curse from God because of some kind of sin in our past. We have to. It's not that God is an unforgiving God. We know that God is a forgiving God. But it says he's a jealous. So if we are putting our faith, our trust, our money, our time, our interest, our treasury, whatever, into something that is not of God, something that is in contradiction to who God is, his nature, and what he has called us to do, there may be things we are calling into our life that might affect our children and our children's children. We have to be very careful.
You know, it's very important, Yemi. Like you said, you emphasizing we have to be careful because, yes, God is a jealous God. And we have to realize that we cannot accept any idols. And idols are to our jobs. I know we need our jobs to make money, but you can't idolize your jobs. You have to realize that God gave you that job. You know, you can't, you know, there are times you won't go to church because you're like, well, I have to work or I have to do this, or you'll find other things to do. But if you actually make that sacrifice, I understand that you needed to pay your bills and things like that, God will make a way for you because you are putting him first. And it's so difficult in a world where we're driven by material, we're driven by society, we're driven by social media, we're driven by what we want, you know, people to see and how we want to be portrayed. And sometimes it's so easy to put God aside, so easy to not make time for him. But when you start to put him first, and that means putting him first would mean taking the time out to actually make time for him, you know, reading from the Bible, you know, memorizing scripture, listening to gospel music, fellowshipping with your sisters, your brothers, with members of your community. These are the ways that God is happy. He knows that you're humbling yourself because he knows the world that we're in. He obviously knows because he made it, right? He created it. But he also wants us to distinguish that we are in this world, not of this world. And how we deviate from being of this world is by trying to align ourselves as close as possible because he knows we're going to sin. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. But mistakes are forgiven. Mistakes are do-overs when you repent, because he knows your heart. So these curses can be broken. These curses can be broken because you have to trust and believe. You have to be fervent in prayer. You have to also, you know, put yourself in alignment so that you are drawing closer to God, that he continues to be the beacon. He continues to be a light. He continues to be your strength and your redeemer. This is the way we can block ourselves or grant the abundance and the overflow that we're looking for in God.
Amen, Philia. We don't want to block our blessings. God said, "I am a jealous God." He already gave us that warning that he will visit the curses 3, 4, 5 generations in our family if we are not doing the things Philia outlined, right? We need to worship, praise him, align with his word, be obedient, renew our minds daily. It may seem like daunting, but it's not, right? Pray to him daily, worship him daily, thank him daily, read daily. These are things that God wants us to do. We, as humans who live in this world, are very self-interested and self-motivated. And that you may say, no, I'm not. I care about my family. But you care about just your family. You're doing whatever you need to do for your family. There's a whole world. There's a whole kingdom that you need to work, right, focus on. But if you're so focused is on these things that are around you, you're making it an idol. You're putting it before God, because if you're not serving the kingdom, if you're not going to church, if you're not doing the things that God has called and asked you to do, then all these other things become your God. And he already said he's a jealous God. He's not about that. He's not down to give you abundant life if you're just going to worship and praise someone else. I always feel some type of way when people say, I don't believe in God. Mm. Everything I had, I worked hard mm-hmm. for it. And I'm just like, oh my God, they're just about to lose everything. Because I'm just like, how can you make this pronouncement? Mm. You may be a recipient of a blessing that's laid on you 4 or 5 generations down because someone did the right thing in your ancestry. And just because now you are denouncing God, you may be benefiting from the fruits of this labor or whatever, or your past may not be blocked, but now you're blocking it for your children and your children's children. So a lot of us don't see because, like I said, we are fleshly human beings who do fleshly things that have a spiritual effect, but we don't know that we're dabbling in the spiritual realm. We just think we're just here on earth doing things here on earth, but we need to be cognizant that things that we do in the flesh also have spiritual ramifications.
It's so true, Yemi, because it also even says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that the Bible reveals that the human essence consists of these three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So in this, even as biological and environmental hereditary, these things are affected. Our body, our soul, our spirits are intertwined. So it is impossible to separate them while we are living in the flesh. So because of this, it is very important for us to be sound and to pretty much be sound in all three of these parts, because if one is affected, then we literally affect the other. We have to think of it as the body of Christ. We can't just take it in bits and part. We're taking the body, we're eating of the body, his bread. That means we are embodying everything about him. So it is important for us to align ourselves as much as possible. And even when I mentioned the idea of don't take your work over God, because God gave us the opportunity and the ability to work. He's blessing us. So for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. And this is from Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19. So God even says, he doesn't have a problem with wealth and riches as long as you're giving back, as long as you are relishing that you got it from him. So when you mention that people are like, I don't know, but I did this myself. I'm the one who sat in class. I'm the one who sat in school. I'm the one who took those daunting exams and passed it to be able to elevate where I am. But God did it. And how dare you? That's blasphemous to sit there and say that. And you're right. It does make you uncomfortable, because when you know God, it's like, God forgive her, she does not know, or God forgive him, he does not know. It just makes you feel like, you know what, I need to move away when that lightning bolt comes down. I don't want to be part of this, because it starts to make you, when you're aware, you are responsible for the things that you know and responsible for the things that you do. So when people don't know, it's really difficult. It's really difficult to accept, but you just got to continue praying for them. As we said, you just got to keep praying.
Amen. I mean, we're talking about inheritance, right? Like, people can inherit good and they can inherit bad. There's physical, we can think about inheritance that we have in the physical realm, where you can inherit a house, you can inherit money, but we forget that there is spiritual inheritance as well. And that could be good or bad. It could be the blessings that God has blessed upon your family generationally, and it can be the curse that is upon your family generationally. Either way, we know that God is good. So if it's good, it's from God. If it's not good, it's not from God. And we need to counteract the things that are not good. And anything that is good, we need to bless and thank God for it. To me, it's so simple. Like you said, when you know better, you do better. What you know, and you put it into practice. Thank God for the good, rebuke the bad, and work in order that you, whatever you're doing, is a blessing to God in his kingdom. Because the last thing that we want to do is actively live in a generational curse or create generational curses for our children's children's children. We want to either break the curse or bring in new blessings that can benefit not just ourselves, but our children's children's children, benefit the kingdom of God. I think we, as a society, we focus on things that are really, really bad all the time. And we also point fingers at family, like his family is bad, her family is bad. Why, you know, why would he not be a dropout? Everybody's a dropout. It's so easy for us to say these words because we're looking at it head on and we're looking at it in the flesh. We're saying that the parent is not going to encourage their child to go to school. That's something, you know, we always say, like, you know, when we're thinking about life partners, and something that my family talks about is like, you want someone who went to school because they want to encourage their children to go to school. If someone didn't go to school, they may not encourage their children. So you think about the spoken things that you pass along to your children, and the negative things easily pass on. Mm-hmm. But we forget that. We want to give them so much good, but we're still people of flesh who are angry, who have generational sins and trauma that we carry with us. We act out on and pass to our children.
Yes, you know, what I want to end with this is knowing that, emphasizing that God is faithful, He's merciful, He is full of love, He wants to deliver us. We say this time and time again. And even in John 3, verse 17, He declares, "For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge," or even when you think of to reject or condemn or to even pass sentences on us, He is sent in the world for us to deliver us, for our salvation. And the only way to be free from any generational curse, as we stated before, is that we must renounce the curse and apply the bondage-breaking power of the blood of Jesus. There is no other way that we can do that. We have to do it that way in order to break it, because there is no greater power than God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know what? I really thoroughly enjoyed this episode. You know, it's so interesting how we've been alluding to this generational curses from the beginning, and now we're here. But we have so much to talk about going forward. And I really want this series to teach us how we can put an axe to these curses that we have inherited, so that we can now be the generational curses of our time.
Curse breakers.
Curse breakers, yes, of our time.
Amen.
Amen. So stay tuned for our announcements and our closing prayer. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion on generational curses. Treading Faith is available on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Please check out our Instagram pages for updates. And if you like us, simply spread the word and follow us. But don't forget to click that like button. Then you can comment and share with your family, your friends, and your neighbors alike. Now, let us join together in prayer, because we truly believe in the power of prayer, specifically praying from the text of the Bible. God desires that we come to Him and be restored back into His grace and favor. Matthew 18 says, "For where two or three or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So we ask that you come into agreement for this closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we desire to be set free from any and all strongholds that may be hindering our lives. And we desire to walk with you, Father God, and to serve you and to be free of any bondage. And we ask that you open our hearts and minds to understand the dangers of the snares, the traps, the pitfalls, and to give us the wisdom and grace to avoid them. Father God, we thank you for the power of our tongues. We ask that you guard our words. You ask that you guide them so that we can continue to speak truth and kindness and encouragement. Father God, may our speech always reflect your love and authority and healing to all of those around us, and keep us mindful of the weight of the things that we say to each other so that they can't hold on to any generational curses, Father God. Empower us to use our words wisely in all situations. Father God, we ask that we want to challenge ourselves, Father God, to be able to use words of encouragement so that we can continue to uplift and restore and applaud and appreciate and to honor one another. Father God, may we never get so overwhelmed and irritated or angry that we forget the power of using our words wisely. And we also want to bring hope and healing, Father God. Father God, we ask that you forgive us every time that we have dishonored you and those who have created any negativity with their words, Father God. We ask that you continue to help us through our pain and our hurt. Show us how to use our mouths as blessings, Father God, and teach us how to love well, how to love people well, Father God, and how to help them to know who they are and who they belong to, Father God. Father God, we thank you for our patience. We thank you and we ask you that you give us more wisdom on when to speak and when to be silent, Father God. And thank you for the mercy that you have towards us in any area of our lives. We are thankful, Father God, that any weapons of any warfare, we know that that our words or our humans are carnal, Father God, but they are mightier through your words, Father God. So we ask that we continue to pull down strongholds to the cost of anything that will cause any destruction in our lives, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you continue to just bless us and continue to grant us mercy, Father God, and forgive us for all of our sins, Father God. Father God, we pray that we are all, because of our obedience, Father God, that you continue to just keep our path straight, Father God. We pray that we continue to align ourselves with you, Father God. We pray that anytime that we fall off, Father God, that you keep us straight, Father God, as long as we continue to remit and relinquish all of our sins and repent for all of our sins, Father God. Father God, we bow in worship and we praise before you. We ask you to cover us, Father God. Cover us by the blood, Father God. We surrender ourselves completely and unreservedly in every area of our lives. We take and stand against all the workings of Satan that will hinder us in our prayer life, Father God. Father God, we address ourselves only to you and you are the true living God, Father God. And we refuse any involvement of Satan in our prayer, Father God. Father God, we ask that you continue to just have mercy on us, Father God. Continue to just bless us. Continue to deploy your angels in all four corners of our lives, Father God. Continue to cover us by the blood of Jesus, Father God. We ask, Father God, that we are continued to be blessed with abundance and growth, Father God. We want overflow, Father God. We want to continue to be in a position, Father God, where we are worthy of you, Father God, that you love the things that we are doing, Father God, that you smile, Father God, and you are smiling at our prayers and answering them, Father God. Father God, we thank you for everything you've done, everything you are doing, and everything you're about to do expeditiously in our lives. Father God, you have adopted us into your family. You have assumed all responsibility for us, and you have given us eternal life. You have given us the perfect righteousness of your Lord Jesus Christ, Father God. And we are now justified. We are thankful that in him you have made us complete and that you have offered us, Father God, a part of yourself to us in our daily help and our daily strength. Oh Lord, you are our strength and you are a redeemer. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We thank you so much for listening. We can't wait to see you on the live tonight. Don't forget, it's 8 p.m. Eastern. We love you, but most importantly, Jesus loves you. Bye for now.